We've got Gene Bolduc here in the studio, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game show in which we take a look at all the things that have people upset and talking on social media this week, and we ask ourselves, are these really things or is this not actually a thing? I'm excited about this.
Yeah, it's a tough menu to whittle it down to only 100.
Yeah,
this week.
Right. Considering.
Right.
Okay, so first things first, Hope Hicks is out as White House communications
director.
It's
a White House without hope.
Yes.
Yes.
For real this time.
For real.
Thing, not a thing.
It's as much to me. It's as much a thing because it seems that Washington watchers didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
It's hard to know why they didn't see it coming when her boyfriend, Rob Porter, was just bounced out because his abusive behavior was outed into the public.
Mm-hmm.
From that story came all of the stories of security clearances and they're not existing.
Right.
Also, Jared Kushner's spokesperson, Josh... last name, Josh, the spokesperson guy, he quit while Hope Hicks was giving her testimony to the Intel committee.
This was the one where she said that she occasionally had to tell white lies on Trump's behalf.
Which, by the way, I would vote that that's not a thing.
I really would. But Trump would think of it as a thing because he apparently yelled and screamed as soon as she got done with her testimony, and 2 hours later she was out. So
here's the thing that I hope is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe Hope Hicks is kind of up to here with abusive men, one of which is the president.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a boss who yells at you, I've been through that myself. It's a terrible thing to have to go to work every day with a boss who's willing to just lose it and scream at you in front of other people.
And then to throw you under the bus in public,
doubt. You know, and I mean, get in line with the Secretary of State and everybody else.
Right.
Well,
that's the thing, I think, with
Hope
Hicks.
I think these things triangulated to just say, okay, that's all.
Yeah. I think the thing with Hope Hicks and the reason why people didn't see it coming is that of all the people in the White House, she is the one who had been with Trump the longest. She'd been the most loyal. She was with him way, way before anyone else was.
Right. Of the non-relatives.
The non-relatives, right. She'd been pretty stable. She'd kind of kept under the public radar.
Right.
So I think a lot of people didn't really know her name as much, but she had a really powerful position. And people looked at that and they said, well, if anyone's going to last in the Trump White House, it's going to be Hope Hicks.
Exactly.
They were correct about that, I think. And I think they overestimated Trump in terms of no one lasts for long if they're around this.
Well, look at the long list of people that she outlasted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's staggering.
Yeah.
Absolutely
staggering. Funny story. I was in the library earlier today, the Chapel Hill Public Library, and I was in the magazines, and I picked up the copy of GQ that they had because they have a cover story on Timothée Chalamet, and I'm a huge Call Me By Your Name fan, so I wanted to read that. So I was reading that, but I was also flipping through the magazine, and they had a ranking of the most powerful people in Washington in the Trump era,
right?
So this wasn't within the Trump White House. This was the most powerful people in Washington.
Right.
So like Bob Mueller was number three.
Right.
Mike Pence was number two. Hope Hicks was number one. They had her ranked as the number one most powerful person in Washington in the Trump era. And this is the current issue of GQ that came out like a couple of weeks ago.
Life
and it's
comes
already
at you fast.
Outdated because she's out.
Right. Well, you know, life comes at you fast in the Trump orbit. I think that why she was thought of that way is that she's thought of as the Trump whisperer.
Yeah.
That she speaks Trump.
Yep.
And, I guess that in that job, that means that she knows how to talk him in from the ledge at least some of the time.
Yeah.
That when no one else will listen, he won't listen to anyone. He'll, you know, then they send her in. Yeah.
This is the other significant thing, I think, and this is kind of like sort of bubbling in development, but there are other people in the White House who sort of have that reputation as being able to calm him down when he's going off the deep end, and all of them seem to be on the outs right now. There's Hicks, who just like all of a sudden left, but John Kelly, there's rumors of him leaving, McMaster, Mattis, all of the people that we think of as being potentially calming influences in the White House are either rumored to be on the outs or close to being on the outs, or in the case of Kelly, like falling further into the chaos.
Well, I mean, Kelly is the one who drew a line in the sand and said everybody with a temporary clearance is going to lose it as of this date certain. And the president stood back and said, I'm not making that decision about Jared.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and now Jared has the same security clearance. Actually, his clearance is lower than the White House calligrapher.
Nice.
You know, somebody's got to make up all those fancy documents. Sometimes with proclamations, they make an artistic document for the president to sign, and the calligrapher does that.
They probably so got to have a security clearance because they got to be able to see all of those things that they're writing calligraphy on.
Right, they got to read that stuff and know it before it's in the it's released. And he has a higher security clearance than Jared.
Mm.
But apparently, Kelly is the one who put it together, the mechanism by which Kushner would be demoted in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's also being reported this afternoon that Kelly and Mad Dog Mattis are the ones who have the long knives out for McMaster. They're the ones who are leaking out that McMaster is going to quit in the next month. So, you know, this is not McMaster saying, I quit. This is not the president saying he's gone. This is them putting out into the media that they're hearing that he's going to leave, put in his notice sometime this month. You know, that's cold.
That's
a cold game up. That is March Madness.
But I'm going to say that those reports are not a thing because I trust rumors coming out of the White House about as much as I trust the president when he goes into a room and talks around the table about gun control.
I agree with you and everyone.
We'll stand up to the NRA. Like, he's not going to do that. And we all know
it. You guys are afraid of the NRA, and you shouldn't be. You should be afraid of me.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And Trump's not afraid of the NRA, but he will do whatever they whisper in his ear, which they're in the process
especially
of doing.
Especially if they're the last one in the room.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
What's our next thing?
Well, you know, What is going to happen with the allegations that have come out today about Carl Icahn dumping steel-related stocks just before Trump blurted out this stuff about tariffs? Because there was a whole operation and a policy shop and everything that was going to roll out ideas about tariffs, and it was going to happen in a week to 10 days, and then Trump just came in and spit it out.
Yeah.
How did that all happen, that Carl Icahn got out of that market just in the nick of time?
Okay, I'm going to say
that one may have nothing to do with the other, but wow, what a coincidence.
Thing as far as Carl Icahn is concerned, to the extent that there may be insider trading going on, not a thing in terms of him dumping stocks right before Trump blurts out that he's going to raise tariffs, because I don't think that could have been predicted.
That's true. That would involve
being able to predict what the president was about to say, and I don't think he was going to do that.
However,
but dumping stocks right before a 7 to 10 day announcement, that may be something.
What if there was a third party involved who benefited somehow from both things happening?
Oh, you mean Jill Stein?
It could be, right? A third party. It's always going to come back to Jill, isn't it? Every time somebody says a third party.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I wonder, I guess the other thing that probably really is a thing is what Putin said yesterday, about his newly demonstrated by computer animation, his new nuclear stuff that he thinks is, you know, the nuclear weapons that are undetectable and render defense systems meaningless. And all this crap that he's saying, you know, a week before his election.
I guess
he's worried he's not going to be elected. No,
I'm going to say that's not a thing. And the great thing about that is if I'm wrong, I will never have to face any consequences.
Yeah. Why is Vladimir Putin doing an interview with Megyn Kelly? These are things that make me scratch my head.
I don't know.
Yeah. I feel icky about it.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Barbara Fushi is on the water cooler. We're going to talk about her new life as an alderman and how much she's enjoying that. The first thing we talked about is how exhausted she was at the end of the campaign.
Yeah,
because, man,
yeah,
that's a process, you
yeah
know. And said all kinds of crazy nice things about Quentin Harper, but we say that all the time because he's a great guy. But yeah, we had a great visit and talked about, you know, some of the issues that are in front of the board and how the dynamics are working on the board, and that people on the board are sitting in different seats than they used to sit in. It's very, you know, it's very
they shuffle them all around. Yeah.
Yeah, they move their chairs and everything. It's unreal.
And that's Sunday at
1 o'clock and then 8 o'clock. And, you know, by the way, I don't know what happens to the water cooler during March Madness.
Oh, it depends on if UNC plays on Sundays or Saturdays.
Of course, I just assume that we'll always be, you know, playing and winning. So,
well, right, of course.
If that's the reason, then that's what happens.
Sunday's also Oscar night. Who's going to win Best Picture?
Who will and who should? Blake Hodge, apparently,
yeah,
from that reaction, is going to win Best Picture. I'm going to say it's Three Billboards, and I think Frances McDormand is pretty much a lock for Best Actress, because I think that these roles with these really strong women are just irresistible this year.
Is that Three Billboards is who should and who will, or?
Who should and who will. Remind me the other nominees. There's a
Call Me By Your Name is my pick for who
Shape
should.
Shape of Water. I don't vote for The Shape of Water.
Get Out, Lady Bird, Three Billboards, Dunkirk, The Post, Darkest Hour, Phantom Thread. That was all by memory, by the way.
Okay, you do scare me. And I've also seen The Post, and as much as I love the movie, I think that in terms of drama unfolding and character development and all that, I think Three Billboards had a little bit more to offer. What do you think?
I would agree with that. Yeah. Call Me By Your Name is my pick for number one, but I think in terms of who will win, it's going to be
really close. It's really going to be suspenseful. That's different.
I'm going to say Three Billboards, but I could be wrong about that. We'll see.
Yeah, it could be. I think it's going to be really close.
Get Out has a surprisingly good chance,
too. Did you see that movie?
I did. It was good.
You liked it? Do you like horror movies generally?
But this was good.
There were certain very peculiar and adorable and very amusing elements to that movie. You know, the thing about, oh no, this is what they're, you know, you can't trust these white people. This is what they're doing. They're gonna drain your brain.
Don't spoil anything. God, I can't bring
you
anywhere.
You know I do that. You know, you can't take me anywhere. You know, I mean, there are things that you can see coming, of course, but there are funny elements that are cultural, racial references that are hilarious in that movie.
Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.